Hey guys, welcome to episode 246 of the podcast with my boy of summer, Stephen Ogg, a badass. I am still in Atlanta. I am so excited to be doing the ID10T festival this weekend. So for those of you who are in the California, San Jose, San Francisco area, come hang with us. We're going to be, John McGinley and Dana Gould and I are going to be flying out there early Saturday and hanging out and doing a panel at the festival. There's tons of great stuff Friday, Saturday, and Sunday there. And I'm excited to see some people that I have like talent crushes on. So it's going to be very cool. So if you have a chance to come, or maybe you're going to already be there, come say hi if you see me. And I hope you enjoy this episode. I feel sure you will.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You can pretend that you're listen. You can sing if you want to. If you want to lean right into the holding the microphone and
just do the karaoke.
Get
thing.
Right into. Do you like karaoke?
That's what drives me.
I can't do it.
Oh, first of all, let's discuss language.
Okay. Oh, great. Let's start small.
Well, because I want to. If I drop the F-bomb, is that
okay? Oh, 100%. Okay. I really thought that
not
you
that
were...
I have a problem with
I thought
it.
You were literally starting with, like, I want to discuss the concept of language communication and how
I am reading
is
a
made.
Great book right now called Homo Deus.
Okay.
Which is a big, thick book.
Is that like God, man created God kind of idea?
Well, it's the idea of the
listen,
evolution after Homo sapiens.
Oh, okay.
The
all
next
right.
level for us would be Homo Deus.
Yeah.
But of course, me sitting there with the big black book that says Homo Deus... Really?
In Atlanta, Georgia? What yeah. are you talking about?
My friend pointed that out. I was like, I never really thought about that. Why don't people just see it as an evolution thing? No, so I was going to say, fuck karaoke.
Yeah, right?
I don't get
all
it.
All due respect to people who love it. I can't do
no,
it.
I don't care about those people that like it. Fuck them,
I
too.
I can't do it. I cannot do
but
it.
But as an actor.
And I enjoy singing. I
oh,
enjoy
do.
Singing. I play instruments. I was in a band. Something about it, maybe it's true of like something like GarageBand, too. I mean, not garage, but like a, you know, Guitar Hero. I can't, once you meta it, once you like take it away from what it originally was and turn it into like the deconstructed idea of it. Like, here's this, anyone can play guitar
it.
On the, you know what I mean? Or here's this song that you associate with this singer and band, but now we're going to pull it out of that environment and put it into this other environment. Something in me shuts down. Even as a performer, I can't, like, I go, oh, I don't want, this is uncomfortable for me, I don't like this, and
I get
real
tremendously,
tight.
It's why and why I admire comedians so much, because I could never, like, stand up. I followed someone around. There was a documentary Jerry Seinfeld did. He was supposed to be the next Seinfeld. Ari.
Oh, yeah. God, did I watch that, or do I just know about it?
It was years ago, but I was, my friend in New York, I followed them around, and it was when Ari, this documentary was starting.
Right,
and
right.
I got so nauseous. And this is the same as karaoke for me, the same feeling. Watching the New York comedic scene.
Mm-hmm.
And this was back in the day, like Will Arnett. Not mm-hmm. that Will was doing the stand-up, but this was, we all used to be this Canadian group
mm-hmm.
of, oh my God, that's so much fun too. We used to go to Cafe Lou and just Mike Weaver, big redhead, would sit and play the piano and we'd all drink on the days.
So, I like you almost. It so, almost sounds like Canada burned down. And
I
you're
know,
like
doesn't it?
Thinking back on
no,
those
I
days.
It's like all these wonderful people that we had so much fun. But so karaoke, I just don't. Yeah, it's more the performing thing. And it reminds me, I get the same queasiness as watching stand-up comedians do their 10 minutes mm-hmm. and then rush off to the next club.
Mm-hmm.
Like even talking about it, I'm getting a like burpee gas.
Uh-huh.
and karaoke, I have a friend in LA who's always trying to get me to karaoke. And especially, you know, when they say, well, you're an actor.
Yeah.
Like as if that means yeah, I want to yeah. be a barking monkey or whatever uh-huh. all the time. Clanging monkey, not a barking monkey, although a barking monkey would be fun
no,
too.
I like the sound of a barking monkey.
And so this was the great instance of karaoke being, he's like, when he'd come to New York, he'd do the Chinatown, I think, where they have the big karaoke clubs, and mm-hmm. he was so into it, right? And I was always like, meet you for a beer, and then I'm good, man.
Yeah.
Have fun.
And also,
kill it.
Yeah, go ahead.
But then watching him, so then we finally, in LA, Silver Lake,
yep.
go to this place, forget the name, it's like quite a place to go. And then we go, and I've known him for like 10 years. Okay, I'm going to go with you this time. Not to perform. I don't want to do it, but I'll be there for you, man.
Yeah,
I'm there for you, for your karaoke passion. He got up, and he turned into someone I did not know.
Exciting.
It's his, like, a dream. And he was doing the vibrato. Whatever song he was singing. He was so into it. And he was, like, looking at people. And I think I swallowed my own vomit. And I haven't talked to him since.
That was it. Also, it wasn't a good positive experience.
No, I haven't talked to him since. I just thought it was weird.
He really came alive.
So.
In a totally different way.
Fuck karaoke.
I agree. Fuck karaoke. Do they do karaoke in Canada? I'm sorry. I know I've been to Canada many times.
They do, but they spell it with a C.
Really?
Karaoke.
Karaoke.
No.
God, I wish that were true.
Do they do karaoke
in They don't
Canada?
Have the letter K, I don't think, in Canada.
No.
Memory serves.
I don't. Actually, the letter K is spelled X.
Okay.
Which is a weird thing.
Great.
But they do that. Karaoke, I don't know. I've never been.
I guess I've avoided it ardently in the United States, and I've never been made to avoid it anywhere in Canada is the reason that I don't know it exists, but I'm sure
maybe there's
it does.
Just more
it's alive
respect
and well.
For those that say fuck karaoke in Canada.
I don't feel like it.
There's just a little more respect up north.
Yeah. Do you sing though? Did you sing as part of being an actor?
I love, again, I admire like those triple threat people that sing and
because if you're in when you were in New York, I'm sure you're surrounded by Broadway actors also.
Yeah,
those,
and we used
those
to,
types.
It was funny because the acting coach, we're talking about the business, but the acting coach used to do like Norm Lewis was in the class, a lot of Broadway musical. He was kind of the Broadway musical fixer. And it was always that joke of like, well, you're not a real actor, you're Broadway musical.
That was for me in college. It really was like the theater people and the musical theater people and the theater people sort of read our Sam Shepard plays and kind of turned our noses up at the musical theater people. Like, we all know what you really chose. We know what you chose. You chose music and you chose singing. And then I was also like into, you know, like rock and roll and I wanted to be Chrissy Hynde or like I was into, you know, I was into lots of goth bands too. But
favorite goth
band?
Me,
well, I mean, I guess, what am I saying? What are we calling goth anymore? Do you know what I mean?
That's what I'm curious. Are we talking?
That's
like
a really good question. Like
Bauhaus?
The Cure, you know what I mean? Well, Bauhaus, yeah, but I guess Peter Murphy's pretty goth.
Well, in
he
Bauhaus,
wasn't as, yeah.
Was. Have you ever seen Peter Murphy perform lately?
Not lately, but he did some shows, yeah?
He's so good.
He's still killing it.
Oh, he is. He sounds great. And
he's an amazing
voice. I
saw The Cure Hollywood Bowl last year.
I was blown away.
Amazing.
Because Robert Smith went through a period a few years ago where it was kind of like, I felt bad. Like, Robert, let's wipe the lipstick off.
Right.
Let's just age, buddy.
Right.
Come on, just age.
Yeah.
And his voice didn't sound so good. But then when I saw him whenever a year or two ago, I have a terrible sense of time. It was a last minute thing. And I was just like, oh my God, The Cure. I was there for something. I was like, oh my God, I want to go see the show tonight. And it was 3 hours of just his songs.
Yeah.
No backup vocals, which blew me away.
Yeah.
And he did his catalog. And the only thing he said was like, something about, you might feel like it's three sets tonight. It's because it is. And then he
Fair
just
enough.
Shut up and he played. And the very end of the night was like, sort of a whole mixed, like Love Cats mixed in with like, he just did this medley and it was like, wow.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah.
Cause I loved that music too. I loved like The Cure and Bauhaus and I mean, Depeche Mode. They're not goth, but.
Yeah. But Depeche Mode. Yeah. Well, anything like new wavy where you get into especially like really old Depeche Mode and like Yaz when you're sort of in that plink plunk synths thing. I still totally loved that. But, was that your jam, or or were you all over the place with music when you were in high school?
High school was 10 through 12.
Oh, yeah. Okay, let's get this out of the way. I guess we've already established that you're Canadian.
Yeah.
From Alberta.
Right.
We say Calgary.
And I say Calgary.
Yeah.
Which no one in Calgary says it.
Because I was going to say...
It's pronounced Calgary.
Because really happy to say that Bruce McCall is one of my best friends, and he's from up there. And
Loose Moose Theater.
He's definitely never called it Calgary.
Yeah, Bruce McCall. I did some Loose Moose Theater there. I did improv in Calgary.
Nice.
Not much. But Bruce,
Calgary. Mm-hmm.
So I just say it. I just.
So high school is what? Is
10 through 12.
10 through 12. Okay.
So
10, 11, 12.
Yeah. High is 6 through 9.
Yeah. All right. Then we can meld those two together because I always think of it as freshman through senior. So 9,
what's
10,
freshman?
11, 12.
I still don't
know. Grade 9.
Freshman's grade 9, and then sophomore is after freshman.
Mm-hmm.
So
and then junior
grade
and then
10?
Senior. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have a word for a year.
Only once you start high school. Now that you say that, I've never thought about it before till this moment. Just rocked my world.
Fucking weird.
One through eight is just grades.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And then
freshman.
When you're in high school.
Freshman.
And only when you're in high school. Well, no, I guess when
so
you're in college, you
school.
Do freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. Yeah.
So grade 9 is considered high school.
For me, but I think also elsewhere in the United States, they do 6 through 9 and then 9 and then 10 through 12. Because ninth grade is that sort of tipping point, right? Where... Like you could sort of, some kids could just as easily stay with the younger kids and some kids, that's the kind of leaping off point where all of a sudden, you know, your hormones, like where that thin sliver, especially for boys versus girls in maturity, seems like it makes sense to me that it would be that there are some sections where it's 6 through 9 and some sections where it's 9 through 12.
I think it's a good break, like, because 6 through 9, I remember grade 6. Sometimes I'll say stuff that I think's true, and it's not. And it's not because I'm a liar.
And
it's
I'm not going to fact check you, and I really hope no one else does.
I have, like, no idea sometimes. Yeah. I just, like, last week...
You're probably just the person who says that. Everyone feels that way, but you're actually admitting it.
I just don't... And I don't remember things, like, at all. Like, anything. I remember feelings and emotions, but I think I'm a little touched.
Okay.
a little touched in the noggin. Because I remember grade 6 because I was bad before that. Bad being, I think I had a touch of the old, whatever they call it nowadays, ADDDRPQRNS, TVXY.
But certainly not K.
I had that. No, K pronounced X.
That's right.
In Canada.
That's right.
X-E-O-K-E. And so grade 6 was a transition because I turned over and I became like something... a better human being. Didn't last long.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did. 6 through 9. And then it seemed like after 9, like when you go into 10, it was a big, like, now I'm not a grown up, but now I'm going into grade 10.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like more of a better break than 8.
And I feel that many girls would say the opposite, that at grade 8, you finish that, and then you're like, oh, and then I had boobs, and then I had my period, and then I had, then I was like, I
at
felt like
eight?
That was a huge, the transition for me between 8th grade and 9th grade was like massive.
A big one.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's switched now too, because everyone is, it's all happening earlier. I mean, my son looks 16, 17, and I don't know when girls are now, like, it's getting younger.
It's earlier,
younger,
it's for
like
sure earlier,
12,
yeah.
13.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I wonder if that transition is changing too, where now it's maybe, I don't know, grade 6 to 7.
And what does that mean? I guess we're not scientists. Like, what does that mean
in
terms
of...
Because we're having kids much later, as an American / Western series of societies. We're having kids much later, but we're also having sex earlier and maturing earlier. There's sort of an interesting... I guess it's just the whole, the stretching out from both sides somehow.
Well, it's also because now, you know, we're not dying at 40, right? So
yeah.
We're dying at 80 or 75, so we're having our kids later. I don't know. That's what Homo Deus talks about too, is all of that, like how the evolution of us and how we're changing into a different species.
Is it an optimistic book? Is it sort of, you know, this is what we... In a great way are evolving into, or
it's certainly not. It's not a pessimist. I mean, it's not like, you know, reading like a Christopher Hitchens or someone like that who had a very, you know. And I was reading this other George Monbiot. It's a British writer who is very, like, you know where he's coming from. This is more presenting it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a woman who wrote it, and she just presents it more. She presents it very well because you enjoy reading it, but it's really not too slanted in either pessimistic or optimistic. It's more like, this is how, it's almost like presenting the history of the world.
Mm.
Here's the facts that I got that I'm presenting to you in a way that you can read. And that's what this book sort of does. It's like talking about how, you know, what separates us from the animals, and then how
I gotta read this. And I am so fascinated by all of that. I'm so fascinated by the idea that we are enough, we're animal enough to feel all of those old feelings, like, especially for someone like me who has had this huge history of, like, you know, panic disorder and anxiety when I was younger. And so all those very, like, lizard brain kind of, you know, survivalist, like, oh God, I have to address this because I'm in danger, when you're not in danger at all. And then to be evolved enough, fight or flight, absolutely. But yet to be evolved enough to, you know, unlike that we know of any other animal, to be able to look at that and look at our own history and our own evolution and go, well, in trying to work through this anxiety I have, I'm able to look back at my Lucy ancestor who was afraid of falling out of the tree, so she had trouble sleeping, so blah, blah, blah. That's why
it comes from
somewhere. It's such a, again, like, this place that we live in now, where we've evolved to this point where we're able to have this tremendous kind of retrospect and the ability to kind of look at what we might become, but we're still so, so attached and close to all of that old stuff. And, like, what is the next version going to be? Is it going to be?
Because we are
more
animals.
Like, are we going to be computer? Did she talk about, like, the idea of artificial intelligence? Does that play into it?
Touched on that a bit. I mean, I haven't gotten to that chapter yet. It's mostly animals and how we are obviously different from the animals, but also talking about how it goes back to, like, Adam and Eve, and how the, you know, the serpent was considered the bad thing. So that started to, in a sense, justify humans treating animals as lesser than.
Oh, interesting.
Which was pretty interesting. And then talking about, you know, pigs, and because I eat meat. I mean, I love meat.
Yeah.
I love meat.
Well, you're from Calgary.
I do. I love my meat. And, you know, talking about the pigs and how pigs are very emotional, yet they're pretty much kept in these pens for bacon and all of that. And it's pretty sad. And you do quickly start. It's like, have you ever watched Cowspiracy?
Mm-mm. I'm afraid. I have a really hard time watching it. I feel like I'm not learning anything that I didn't already fear was true. And so I end up just avoiding stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, because most of it is, right? You know that it's terrible. And then you end up just feeling guilty.
Yeah.
Because you're like, fuck, now I'm craving a hamburger. It's like the
while
ABC, like,
happening.
Non-smoking, like, don't smoke commercials.
Yeah.
Where they're coughing in a car. I was like, I think I want to start smoking. They just work, like, the fried egg. This is your brain on drugs. I'm like, I'm not into drugs, but fuck, I want to try them now.
Yeah.
I get to be like a fried egg. How cool is that?
I thought you were just going to say you wanted to eat an egg, but I see that you took it all the way.
Yeah, I want to do the drugs. I just read recently, too, or heard, cocaine and heroin. I'm no expert, and I just read this. And granted, I did a line before this, so I'm also a little cloudy, a little jack right now, a little on the old. Where was that? Oh, it's because we were talking Dennis Hopper earlier. That's why I was thinking of the cocaine. And I'm talking about. They say that heroin and cocaine is actually on your system. It's not bad for you compared to, let's say, cigarettes or alcohol that do actual damage to your body.
Like lasting damage.
Yeah, cocaine and heroin don't.
Interesting.
It's just obviously the lifestyle and all of that that then goes with it that's bad. So,
right.
I mean, all your listeners, snort a line.
Shoot it up. I actually do ask that all my listeners do a line before they listen to the podcast. I just want them to, if I can get them angry and sweaty, but also
like
feel like they're connecting with the world.
Along,
absolutely.
Right? You never hit a low.
You know you have the option on that podcast app. Go ahead and put me on 2X. Listen to me talking twice as fast.
Yeah.
Just, there's so much information. Just get it in there faster. Did you do drugs when you were in high school?
No. I was always considered like, I was looked at, I never fit in.
Give me a picture of, like, even just physically how you could compare it with and where you sort of fit in.
I was strong, I was lean.
Yeah, keep talking.
I get confused between junior high and high school in my mind.
Let's think of 16-year-old you.
16. Oh gosh. Well, I think I left home the next year at 17 or 18. I was living in Europe or in Toronto or somewhere. I don't know. Ask my mom.
Also, people think of Calgary, by the way, I think some people think of Canada as like the positive idea of it is this idea of like just a bunch of white people who are all educated, who are all socialists, there's no racism. There's just like, it's everyone has their own 8 acres of land because there are so few people up there. And
no.
That's one of the things, especially when you get into Alberta, like there's a lot of country folk up there. There's a lot of like...
Well,
and this again
Calgary's
is coming out of,
and it's a very wonderful. Have you been?
No, I haven't.
You're just talking out your ass.
Well, I'm just talking from things that Bruce has told me or that he.
Oh well, yeah, because if you're friends with Bruce, you know.
Yeah,
it's such a great. I love this city. I really do. It's such a beautiful, clean. Like I just that's I, my focus is like I'd love to go shoot something there for a while, you know, to spend more time there. But it's a suburb, right? So you've got your downtown core, and then it's just spread out.
Mm.
It's just sprawling mm-hmm. everywhere.
Is it racially dynamic? Is it
well? I called it KK Calgary.
Okay, great.
For a reason. And I will say that when I brought someone there in the past. I'm twitching. The conversation we were having
Listen,
before.
At least you remember that you brought someone there in the past.
I do. But so so she came to meet the family back when. And, and so, anyways, we went and this will probably be very popular with the listeners. So we went to, on a Friday night, the multiplex, which these suburban multiplexes are huge, right?
Yeah.
Like big fire-breathing dragons uh-huh. and arcades, and there's like thousands of people,
sure.
right? You go in, and there's 12 screens,
mm-hmm.
and it was packed. And so we went in there, and I think my sister and brother-in-law came too, and wow, he said, you guys get the tickets. We'll wait in line for popcorn because it's, you know, the lineup's huge because everybody in Calgary on Friday night go to see
sure.
movies. So we line up. And she made the comment, being from New York and obviously seeing a lot more variety of mm-hmm. people. She said, is there any black people here? and now, again, I know we're this PC with terms and with what to say, and so I'll just say black.
Mm-hmm. I think that was
it's okay,
appropriate and fine.
Ugh,
says the whitest girl in the world.
Yeah, everyone's so worked up now. It's just gross. You can't have fun anymore. I don't know what that means either. I just made my ears pop with a fake line. And who does that? Not me. And so we're standing in line.
Waiting. As far as the eye can see.
And just... It's no, really? No black people?
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah. And the worst, going back to high school, since we're keeping with the high school,
yeah.
We did have one black person, I think, in our school. And I'm terrible to say, but and his name was Washington. So talk about feeding into the entire, like one black person and his name's Washington. It's not helping
Mm-mm.
spread.
I got to talk to that guy. We actually have him here.
Washington.
Hey, W, can you come in here?
Oh, I was just going to say something that would have been so like Bill Maher, not in what he said, but then a joke that would be funny and
right.
we'd laugh and then
right.
people would hear it and then they'd say, you're racist, even though it was funny. And you can only imagine there's about 5 jokes right there associated with calling out to
sure.
Washington.
Sure.
So we did keep waiting in line. And again, it's, I don't know, 150 people deep.
Mm-hmm. It's the popcorn ride.
We're
you're waiting in line for the popcorn
we're
ride.
Inching. And again, I'm like, yeah. There's where?
Please don't say it was the person serving you.
Show me a black person. I'm like, oh, yeah, there ever, yeah. Thousands of people. Keep in mind, fire breathing
yeah.
dragon. there's black people. Show me. Well, just you know, they're around. Finally, we get up to the front. So it's maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes. Finally. There, coming in the door. I literally said it way too loud. and way too, but I was genuinely excited at the spotting of the black person coming in.
Yeah.
And then of course I next security.
Yeah.
And I got security and out they went.
Oh, good. Oh, what a relief. Yeah. I'm so glad the story ended as it well and proper should have.
So there was one that tried to get in, but luckily I caught them and off they went.
What a citizen. I salute you. Thanks. I salute you.
And then I took off my white hat. Uh-huh. So I was wearing this big goofy
white hat. I can't see the movie with this on.
And I didn't cut the holes right. So it was
sure. Bless your heart.
So there you go.
Heart.
Even despite not saying the jokes that I was going to say, I still managed to offend.
I'm comfortable with it. What about like other high school? So you're in all white school with one black guy, or was it like there were some Asian kids? There was
BB. I swear to God.
No.
That was the other black guy in Calgary growing up.
No.
BB in Washington.
Oh, no.
But BB's real name was Chris.
Okay.
So why do we call him BB?
I don't know.
BB.
Because of BB King. That's all I can think of.
It had nothing to do with that. I think it was like...
Bad boy.
Bad boy. Big bounce. Like it wasn't something... Because again, I've never been like black, white, Chinese. I don't care what you are, gay, straight. Like you're an asshole. You're not. That's how I define people: man, woman, gay, straight, black, white, whatever.
Yeah.
Green.
What do you feel like the ratio tends to be for you in your perception of the world? Mostly not asshole, or mostly asshole? I guess it depends on how much coke you've done.
Yeah, and the amount of coke. How fucked up I am. Yeah, it depends on the day. You know, the fuck off corral can get pretty packed days, depending on the
when
mood.
Did you have an attitude problem when you were in high school? Did you feel like were your hormones expressing themselves in angst?
I never had a girlfriend in high school, I don't believe. I think it wasn't until graduation, which is grade 12 graduation, that this girl I knew, I sort of asked her, but she was not. I think she left. She dropped out of school. She was in the volleyball, and she was a big volleyball player, and she was taller than me. So she was like 6'2". But other than that, I think the girl I loved in high school, was in love with, was dating someone who was in grade 12 when she was in grade 10.
Yeah.
And I always loved her. And we did end up not hooking... Did we? We ended up, I think, realizing we both actually had something for each other, but she was with someone. And
that's a very sweet John Hughesian kind of development.
But also heartbreaking, because you're like, wow, so we spent all of high school maybe together. But yeah, so I was not much of a
Lothario?
Yeah, it just wasn't happening for me, because again, I was like, it sort of transferred over from junior high, where I did theater, and so I won't use the term that I tend to use. I'll just say I was into theater. Mm-hmm. I was a theater boy. So for the jocks, the athletes, I was a theater boy.
Right.
The theater people saw me as a jock or an athlete.
Oh yeah. Well, what sport were you doing?
I never fit in with the group. High school is when I think I started to focus just on volleyball.
I mean, listen, here's my weird prejudice, is that for some reason it never occurred to me that you would play volleyball up in Calgary.
Well, Calgary is where the Olympics
train. I know. I don't
even.
Because
of the altitude,
it
so
seems
high.
Like such a beachy sport. I'm sure there was volleyball in Tucson, Arizona, where I'm from, for some reason I can't wrap my head
around
it.
It's a very masculine.
Like, why wouldn't it be?
Sport.
I mean, I love volleyball.
Just yesterday, I had a friend make fun of my this pinky here, which is broken, and he was like, he basically made fun of the fact that my pinky is broken because of volleyball, feeding into the stereotype, which was great in 1970, but again, things have changed. And
my dad was a male cheerleader, and he's like a dude, so
yeah,
my expectations are,
it's so ridiculous. And so we actually in high school, I do remember, this is a high school story, I believe.
Let's have the high school story alert sound effect.
That might just be a tornado warning. Doesn't it look like there's like a tornado coming in?
This wall of windows invites a lot of and it's a lot of weather.
It's so humid here, and I got soaked earlier on my bicyclette, and it might just happen again. But I'm not afraid.
Nor should you be.
You know what you do? This is what I learned being in Thailand.
Yeah, same.
You
keep a Ziploc.
Always have a Ziploc bag.
Me too.
And this is usually my wallet too, which people make fun of. But
yeah.
Ain't no one making fun of me out there when my stuff's dry.
No, sir.
When my shit be dry.
No, sir. That's proof. I know you guys were worried that there wasn't proof of a sealable baggie in his pocket.
What do they call that again? Foley?
There's a little bit of white dust that's just trickling out of there too. You might want to just turn it back from inside out. Oh, is that walking through snow?
Or leaves or something? But that's foley.
I like the flexible foley artist. What do you think it is? Listen, I just make the sounds. You tell me what you think it is, and I'm happy with that.
I still have dreams. As a little boy, I dreamed of doing this.
Broken pinky volleyball. So they thought of you.
Well, volleyball had the reputation of obviously being, you know.
Not football.
You're right. Yet in our high school, I clearly remember us volleyball players being bigger, stronger. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I played volleyball, I was the shortest guy. I was the runt of the team.
And how tall were you in high school?
6'3". Well, I was maybe, yeah. By then, I was probably almost 6'2", 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". But I was big. Like, I got really muscular and had a large vertical because I was such a short player. But we were all, like, worked out. And especially when we got into the club volleyball and sort of leaving high school, we worked out, and we always had this thing with the football team because the football team was, you know, yeah, we're football. We're like, I remember my friend and I who played volleyball, we were like, fucking anytime, guys. Anytime. Anytime you guys think you're tough guys, let's go.
Yeah.
We are angry. And there used to be a guy who, a football player, who was chewing one of them in Alberta. And I remember my one teacher, we all have that teacher, Mr. White was my teacher in high school, who really got me into appreciating and loving and mesmerized by the rain.
Yeah, it's really a fine mist right now.
But heavy.
But heavy. It's a heavy, beautiful, it feels like almost like it could just be fog. Like if you did a quick, it looks like we're just in
it depends
a
where
tremendous
you look.
Amount of fog.
Sorry, easily distracted, bright light shining.
Well, I put you in the chair that faces the window, so
well, I could just look fault. Over here. I could look at the cement.
And be mesmerized by that. Fair enough.
And
Mr.
So
White got you excited. What kind of what did he teach? He got you passionate about
English.
Yeah.
And about the written word and about the joy of reading. And I just loved him. And we recently got back in touch, which was nice. It's really, you know, the Facebook I can just do without, and I do mostly. So Mr. White was, I loved him as a teacher. And so there was one football player that did the spit and would then left it in the desk.
In class?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So my friend and I, who played volleyball too,
put that that's right my there. Hair, I apologize. But,
five jokes that go alongside the Washington, the W joke, that again, they're all just left right over here.
Sure,
that,
sure. That just in a sweet little pile.
Time. Friend I played volleyball with, again, we approached this tough guy football player who decided that that was cool to chew spit and leave it in someone's desk in a teacher's class that we respected. It was the only time where we went up and we said, swallow that right now, that cup.
Oh, nice.
That disgusting spit.
Yeah.
So tough guy football player basically had to take it from us to volleyball players, and he sipped it. So who's a tough guy now?
Yeah, who's a tough guy now? Were you, and did you feel when you started doing theater, was that in high school or had you already been doing it before then?
I did theater since I was, I don't know. See, my mom always corrects me. Like I did in elementary school, which I tell people at these cons, which I, you know, you start to think back on this. Do you know Betty Boop?
Mm-hmm.
Boop, 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 boop. In elementary school, I used to perform at school assemblies in drag as Betty Boop.
What a beautiful story.
Like, what?
And you don't remember how that
started? No, my parents aren't actors or entertainers. My sister's not.
Betty Boop.
Like, why did, what?
Yeah.
And nobody's questioned that?
It's great.
And I remember Tanya, This is elementary school. Oh, my bike's gonna be so wet, so clean, so fresh and so clean.
I should have had you roll it upstairs.
That's all right. Ain't gonna hurt. And so, Stephen just fell asleep. I don't know what happened to him.
I'm really glad I put away my 3D magic eye posters, where if you unfocus your eyes, you can see three dolphins.
I was like, hey, what?
Stephen, come back, please.
Sorry. And so the volleyball, theater. Oh, Betty Boop did that. And I have no idea. And then I did theater, like when I was a kid. And then actually in high school is when I stopped. Because in high school, my mentor, who was the drama teacher, but I never took drama in school. I was still doing theater. I remember I did the long and the short and the tall when I was in, which was the local theater thing, and I played a British soldier.
Oh, this is like community, outside of high school.
Yeah, I never
as well.
Performed in high school.
Gotcha.
I never did a play in high school. I don't even know if our high school had plays.
Gotcha.
There was a drama class, I remember, with my mentor, Peter Spear, who ended up like pushing for and getting me into or applied for RADA, and I was like, oh wow, and that was sort of my path, I felt. But then I got into volleyball, and he used to take me to the Fringe Festival, Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, he was my mentor. And then I'm pretty sure it was in grade 12, I think, I don't know, he died.
Mm.
And he died of pneumonia.
Oh, no.
Which was, back in the day when we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And so that was found a skinny man died of a big disease with little name. And that was sort of and it really killed me. And it really killed my, like, I was like, ugh. And then I just focused on volleyball. And I was like, I'm just going to be a volleyball player. And then acting sort of went away for years as I focused on that.
Well,
that's funny. Good story.
No, listen. I think it's interesting.
Not everyone can wrap up a AIDS volleyball race card.
It takes a certain something. Certain something. Well, were you outside of those two things? Were you an adequate student? Were you the kind of person who would be excited about, like, if I'm into this and I like the teacher, I'm going to get into it. And if I don't,
loved school.
Why am I doing this? You love school.
Yeah.
Great.
Which my son would never like. He's like, I hate school. I never understood it because I don't like the institution.
Yeah.
It's obviously heavily flawed with what's prioritized and what's important. But as far as learning, oh, I loved it. And I loved the structure of, you know, challenging yourself. And I would, and true story, like Friday nights, I would stay home and do like a book report over going out.
Nice.
There was something. I just really wasn't like nerdy geeky, but I preferred that. And so it's always been with me. Like, people view me a certain way, and it's like, so not the case.
Yeah.
I'm so not that person that people think, or even like the, you're crazy. No. I mean, we all got sides to us, but I was like, no, man, not that. Not at all. I loved the reading and the book reports and high school. Dr. E.P. Scarlett High School.
Is that a public school?
Public school, yeah.
And a good school, a decent school?
I don't know.
How I feel about my school. Like, I guess.
That's what's tough then, once you have a child and his mother has done everything regarding finding the right school, and she's the...
Right.
Power to her and what she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so,
he's shaking his lustrous hair.
So it's interesting when you have a kid, because you like, and especially kind of being a socialist, it's just like, I don't know what a good school is, like one that teaches ABC 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Like, how would I know And this is not to say, because education is so important, again, not because of the degree, but because of how it trains your brain and how you, the knowledge and learning and expanding your mind, that's what's important, not that fucking degree, because you're going to change, you know. There's no, especially nowadays, there's no guarantee of anything.
Right.
So yeah, go to school, get your 10 degrees and get your big job, but then you still might lose it. You know, everything's unstable, so just know as much as you can and know how the brain, the importance of learning of that, all you kids listening out there. To learn is to grow. That's a good thing. Bring. That was my rainbow.
And then there is a
That's one to grow on.
No rainbow.
Bring.
Yeah.
We are socked in here.
Yeah.
We are socked in.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen it like this in my life. There's some blue though, too. It's pouring.
On the other, just on the other side of this, I feel like I can see the sun. Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, even, yeah.
And so the rain distracts me. I hear the rain, I hear the rain. Do you know that song, The Violent Femmes?
Yeah, I love The Violent Femmes.
God, to kill the pain.
That was definitely a band. I mean, yeah.
They were touring again recently.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I have a comedy festival in San Francisco. I don't know if I've told you that, but he came and...
A comedy festival in San Francisco?
Mm-hmm, I'll tell you about it offline. These guys know far too much about it probably already, but...
What does that mean?
I mean, I founded and produce a comedy festival that I've founded and produced 16 years ago with two former sketch troupe mates, and it's just become this behemoth of a 16-year-old child.
What happened? Like, what happens?
Tons of stuff. Oh, I'll have to bring you out for something. You've done a lot of drama, so I guess that's probably why I haven't done it yet. But
it's a weekend?
No, it's 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks long. It's like 17 venues.
What are you talking about?
It's an enormous.
3 weeks in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm, in January, sometimes early February. Ma'am. Well,
Huh?
Yep.
What do you do for 3 weeks? I don't understand. People come for 3 weeks. Do you develop?
Well,
a movie
I mean, we have.
TV
we I go up there. I go up there for the month, basically, like a week before we open, and then we open, and we just have all different kinds of stuff. So we'll do.
What
movies.
Do you mean you open?
We'll do. I mean, like our, you know, we'll have opening night, and then we'll have like 200 different shows from theaters that fit 50 people to theaters that fit 2,000 people, and all through. So we'll do reunions.
Incredible.
Like we'll do tributes. We'll do, like, and we've branched out now to where, like, we'll do a tribute to, you know, somebody like, well, you know, we did a tribute to, like, you know, Cloris Leachman or something, but then we've done a tribute with Gary Shandling and Conan O'Brien. For those of you who are familiar with the festival, I really apologize, but it is something I guess I'm pretty proud of.
Well, yeah, I'm just very fascinated by this because I don't know these things. So, and you have, you say all these different venues for 3 weeks, people, it's all stand-up?
No, not at all. No. So we'll have like, you know, like we had that, like the Kids in the Hall reunited to do a sketch show at one theater, but then elsewhere there's some,
for you?
There's some, and there's some like in the state and the Mr.
Was this
show.
Before their tour?
Yeah.
Oh, Bob.
Bob and Dave. Yeah.
Wow. You're big time, man.
I'm big time. And now I'm big timing you. That's an actual verb where like I'm big timing you by bragging.
You're totally
about all
big
this,
timing
but,
me.
Yeah. But so then we'll have like, there will be a movie going on, like a movie screening going on. Like we had reunited the nerds from Revenge of the Nerds, but then elsewhere in the
Booger.
Oh yeah. Booger's been at the festival many times. Curtis Armstrong. Yeah. He's the best.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cause we had a Better Off Dead live read where the cast came back and like read on stage the thing, and we'll have live music. And so lots of music too, and improv and sketch and stand up and film and television.
I love readings.
Oh, we'll definitely bring you for something.
I couldn't do like something funny or stand up or I'm too scared.
We'll bring you for a staged reading. I think that's a perfect solution.
Do what?
We'll bring you out for something like that, like a staged reading of some whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Cuz you know a ton of the people. I mean, you know, just from shows you've done, you're around people who are like heavily steeped in that shit anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I like the funny peoples.
That was a real segue. I don't even remember how that started.
The festival thing?
Yeah. I don't know why I brought it up, which is, that's obnoxious if I was like, apropos of nothing, I'm a producer of a comedy festival.
No, it was probably because I was going on about
schools,
something
we were
and it was just like,
about...
it was getting boring and so you just wanted to
I
plug
swear
something.
There was a reason for it. All of you listening, you know
maybe
what that reason is.
Bad?
I wish that I could go to the past.
Was I talking about sad things and you wanted to bring up something
no,
that was happy?
No, and I don't think that it had, I thought I was like, oh, maybe it was had to do with the rain, but that's definitely not
no.
it.
No.
What Fuck, happened? I don't remember.
I wish this was a cassette we could rewind.
I know. I totally derailed
us. Maybe the
us.
Worst impression. I did a good Foley earlier with the
That was solid Foley.
Is
solid
not how
Foley.
An old cassette tape yeah. sounds.
Fuck, I have no idea. But I there really was a very specific reason that I was like, okay, because I had a point that I was pushing to, and I was like, it had to do with my festival or being a producer, but it was like, let me just quickly say that so I can make my point. And I have absolutely no
game,
idea
maybe?
What it was.
You guys
I'm
do a volleyball
sure
tournament?
I didn't have a volleyball game going. I'm sure of it.
Eddie Boop.
We're talking about schools. What makes a good school?
Days?
What makes it bad? He is... Well, he's written a couple of books that are wonderful, like books of essays and stuff. Oh, he's such an amazing writer. Just wonderful, funny, poignant, dark, great
wow.
essays about just little things here and there. And he is right. He directed. He was just in Toronto shooting. I guess it's Toronto. They shoot Schitt's Creek with Eugene Levy and those guys. He went in and wrote an episode and then directed a few episodes. And now I think he's back in LA.
I'd love to do a Schitt's Creek. I saw Levy. Dan,
Eugene Levy,
right?
Oh, his son or Eugene Levy?
Yeah, no, his son.
Yeah, I think his name. I don't know.
Dan?
I think so. I don't watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
It's hilarious. And my son and I were watching it last year. We were binge watching it and laughing and just it was really wonderful. So I posted, you know, quality time. With my boy watching Schitt's Creek, and then Dan responded, you know, it's the verification thing gets you.
Oh yeah,
you get weight.
Yeah,
and so he responded, and we have the same manager in LA. So then my manager was telling him I was a fan of the show, and he's like, "Oh my god, I'd love to have Steven on. I got her." I'm like,
"Yeah,
totally write something for me.
Absolutely,
love to do that show."
Absolutely.
Again, just like the show we did.
Yeah.
Fun, like it's just so fun to do comedy, and especially to work with people that are, you know, because again, improving and comedy, you and I know we're not going to talk about the business, but there is a lot more responsiveness, because that's if you have a comedic improv background, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially even the old theater games.
I tell
of
everyone,
yes,
yeah,
say yes
absolutely.
To everything. You have to go along with everything, and it's all based
absolutely.
On response.
If you're not paying attention, you're fucked.
Yeah.
If you're not a team player, you're fucked.
And I love that.
It's great.
It's that's I think that's why a
and
lot
it's alive
of actors,
and present. Yeah, in a totally different way.
You know, be it like Peter Sellers. You know, obviously, also a lot of comics are, you know, Robin Williams, dark, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all, I'm a bit of a jackass, and I always say, well, it's just because it's this or the fetal position. And like, there's no joke there. It's literally a lot of fetal position,
yeah.
You know? Because you, I don't know, it's interesting with the world of comedy and comics, the darkness, and which generally makes them, not all of them, but, you know, There are a lot of comics, I don't know, comedians, whatever one wants to put that label as, that are terrific actors, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that are really, really go... I mean, for me, it's like a Peter Sellers, but there's obvious... That just came up for my... Just when you look at Dr., you know, Inspector Clouseau versus being there, you know, Chauncey Gardner, like that.
Yeah. Whew.
Yeah. Told my dad once about being there, watching it. It's one of my favorite films and books.
It's amazing.
Love Jersey.
Oh, I didn't know I've read the book.
It's great.
The book.
Read Painted Bird. That's another great Jersey Kaczynski wrote that. But yeah, remember I told my dad to watch that. My dad doesn't, he's not a cinephile.
Mm-hmm.
He watched the news. That mm-hmm. was his thing. 6 to 6:30, Daryl Janz.
Mm-hmm.
Big shout out to Daryl Janz there in Calgary. How you doing, bud?
Hey, buddy. Great stuff.
Peace, yo.
Oh.
And doing. Boing. More.
That's the jingling of his ring on his broken pinky, everybody.
No, that's me. I'm playing a prison guard and I have.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. It's my bad. It's my fault. Of course, that's what it is. Are they in a very deep pocket?
No. They're the old, like the ring.
Yeah, but. Okay.
You know the guys that walk.
Oh no, I know.
Like Green Mile, and like I'm gonna go open up cell number 16
because
he's got to go get his bread, or I don't know, maybe I'll.
It's
take
a
him into
it's
the
a
hole.
Ring of it's
you're
a
fucking
small
going to the hole. You're fucking going to the hole because you fucking threw the mushy peas, and then I'm
A small ring. Now, see, that's better because the other one sounded like a tiny ring with two safety deposit keys on it, kind of tinkling.
But I'm still walking like I'm walking through snow. That's why you talked about your festival, because you're like, fuck, dude.
It's going to haunt me.
Stop.
It's not even going to haunt me long, because I'll just rewind this after you leave and then text you and go, dude, I was going to say blah, blah, blah.
What was the, yeah,
we were
curious.
Talking about,
let me know what that
segue
is.
Community theater. We were talking about you doing, I mean, I just am, I can't draw a line at all, but I swear there was one.
I'm sure there was.
I just don't know what it was. Fuck. I can't, this, I forgot to tell you I do this. I'm going to tell you what this is really quick. Guys, I'm going to pause this because I don't want to put you through the MASH description yet one more time.
This is a 6-hour podcast.
And it is, well, see, now the sun's coming out, so you won't be stuck here for six.
I didn't tell you I'm a blabbermouth.
Hold on. Guys, stop. Okay, I think, I don't know, I feel like my explanation of what this is made it more confusing rather than less, but just.
And welcome
just
back.
Fly.
You don't have to do that, right? Podcast.
Thanks to our sponsor. No, I don't
That's
have.
What I was expecting, like,
I don't have any ads.
And welcome back.
No, that's okay. It. There was nothing. It was as if no time had passed.
And we never rewound and found out.
And we never rewound. It was an opportunity missed for sure.
But still continued to
a
talk
mystery.
Non-stop.
Yeah.
Do some people talk non-stop and some people tough? This is not an interview. This is we're just chatting.
This is the conversation. I don't know. Oh, yeah. The air conditioning in here is extremely loud. There's a real sense of urgency. No. No. And I thought when I first moved in here, I thought I'm not ever going to be able to sleep when that comes off and on. And of course, now I'm completely used to it and I don't notice. But all right. Let me ask you this.
Okay. So we're playing
in my
MASH
categories. Yeah. Let me start with this. Three movies that you can step into at will. You're not reliving the plot and you're not one of the characters. It's just you can dive into that world and just be in that space, just in that environment, the way whatever that movie makes you feel, or if there's a particular character in it, whatever. You know what I mean?
Because I want to rewatch it?
No, like it's like an alternate universe. Like, oh, I can actually go in and live inside of Goodfellas. I'll give you an example because sometimes people say it. Just get it
something
all over
you
me.
Want to live in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like three. Like you can just kind of jump
like
into it.
Neverland, like.
Yeah, if you want, or Star Wars, or.
Fuck.
I've already stopped your brain.
No, because I'm thinking.
Oh, I should. I mean, this is
things?
A very like childlike fantasy world game that I play.
So things I would want to step into.
Mm-hmm.
See, because immediately I was like, "My name is Joe," mm-hmm. which is about like an alcoholic. And it's not just because I love the film. I don't really want to step into that world.
I know that's where you tease apart like quality films versus like, oh, this is like brain candy that I just want to go in and be, you know, sort of be a kid and disappear into.
Well, something, I mean, like, and again, I don't watch a lot of Will Ferrell movies, but like I tried to watch Step Brothers once and I was like, meh. But then I happened to watch it again recently and I was like, yeah, I'd love to step into that world just because it was fun.
That's a really funny movie. And I think I felt the same way about it the first time I saw it.
The first time I just thought it was really crude and crass and it didn't make sense. I think I was watching it with my son and we turned it off because it was like, not that I was protecting him from
right.
you know, other dick jokes or whatever, but
right.
I was like, this is just,
you're just like,
dumb.
Huh. Yeah.
But then, so I don't know what made me think of that. So step into that.
Love it. I like that we have the word step in the name of the, that's
yeah,
very
step.
Literal.
Maybe that could be another level to this
game. What if you said that? The movie Step Mom with Susan Sarandon, the movie Step Brothers, and then just Step by Step, the show.
Is there another Step movie though?
Yeah, there is. Step It Up.
Step It Up?
And possibly Step It Up too. Those
was
are dance movies,
was
I
that
think.
Channing Tatum? Was that his first
I
movie?
I don't know. Was it? I'm not sure. I'm trying to think of dance movies I've seen. Not many.
Another one, some sort of like, because I just did this space film,
mm-hmm.
I sort of enjoyed that, but not like Star Wars. Like I liked more like
a 2001 Gravity.
Yeah, like Europa Report or like Life on Mars. So Europa Report.
Okay. Have you seen Moon? I'm sure you have. Sam Rockwell.
The designer on that, Tony Noble, is the one that designed my space pod that
great.
I shot in England.
Oh, great.
And I just met with the casting director in England who cast Sam Rockwell in Moon. How about that connection? Duncan Jones. You know Duncan Jones, right? The director? Mm-hmm.
Oh,
Moon?
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were saying that was a casting director.
But do you know who Duncan Jones is?
Don't I?
Do you?
Do I?
What? Do you?
I guess not.
Duncan Jones, the director of Moon.
Yeah.
Do you know who he is?
I know that he directed Moon, but I don't know what else
he
directed.
He's David Bowie's son.
Oh, I did know that. Okay. I apologize. I didn't know that. Okay. That was made a big deal to me when I saw Moon, but I forgot utterly until now.
But Moon, yeah. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
So did I give three?
Yeah, no, you gave your Roper Report. Step Brother? Well, I have your Roper Report in here. Do you want me to switch out for Moon?
Well, there, yeah, Moon. Let's put Moon.
Yeah. And then one more. What about do you like a, this is set in the Scottish Highlands kind of thing?
Don't fucking tell me what I like.
It's a question.
Sorry.
I formed that as a question.
I totally jumped on you there. I apologize. I just.
I know.
Yes. But I wasn't a big fan.
I know, it's the air conditioning. It sounds like a hissing, dying dinosaur.
Someone just died.
Yeah, that's a death rattle. That's a death rattle.
Like they just fucking got the
off the spacesuit, right off the spacesuit.
Yeah,
yeah,
and when
you
it
go.
Starts up, it's like boom.
Yeah, it's really intense.
Yeah, it really lets you know when we're starting and ending on that AC.
Mm-hmm.
Shake it off, Steve.
I know.
Shake it off.
You're all right.
I was going to say like an epic, like I love like not Lawrence of Arabia because I'm not like Lawrence of Arabia, but you know, something said, like you just mentioned the Highlands, like something in the country, actually even something in, but I don't know again if this is the world. Joshua Jackson, you know, who's in The Affair,
Dawson's Creek.
He did a movie in Newfoundland where he's dying of cancer.
Sounds great.
There's
Left
the world
right.
I want to be in.
Left, right. Oh, today's world where everyone's dying of cancer?
Remember Philadelphia?
Got
something
it.
Like that.
What a hoot. What a joyride.
Tom Hanks level 8.
I love anything that's set in, I really, really enjoy, it's something I figured out at a very young age, anything set in a quiet, fully crunching through snow. Like that kind of environment, like Newfoundland or like everything Scandinavian.
So that's what I'm getting at. Like something,
just the sound of the air and the snow blowing.
You know, yeah.
I might go to Never Cry Wolf, which is pretty intense because that's just me and one guy watching wolves. But
and
still.
Again, this wasn't, but I love the, Gray. Was it Gray?
That William Neeson movie?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I survive Into the Wild.
Great.
Boom.
There
There's the one. Into the
there
Wild.
There we go.
Survival tales.
Yeah.
In the woods.
Yep.
Man versus nature.
Yeah.
Man versus himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that one?
That should be a little quicker. I took way too much time.
You're just warming up. You're just warming up.
But because I didn't quite understand.
You're just warming up.
I didn't understand the question, to be
honest.
What's
the one? It's not called Into the Wild, but it's something similar. The one with Anthony Hopkins and what's his name?
Alec
Baldwin. That David Mamet
that was
one.
Shot where, that was Alberta.
One. There you go.
That was in Alberta.
There you go.
Like black bear or something.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it called like?
No, but there was a bear, definitely a bear in it.
Yeah.
But I think it was something like something
even
wild,
like The Revenant, like something like I love
yeah.
that.
Oh, time. Yeah.
And that's shot in Alberta thing. Too.
I think I want, if my life could just be shot with a blue filter, that's basically what I'm getting at.
Like Barbara
just
Streisand?
Just a blue filter. Is her life shot in a blue filter?
I don't know if it's blue, but doesn't she always have that?
Well, she might have like the Vaseline, but I'm talking about everything kind of looks like it's cloudy outside. You know, like The Revenant, everything sort of has a blue tint to it. It looks...
Did you like The Revenant?
Did I like it? I don't know if that's the word I would use. I was fascinated by it.
Did you see it on the big screen?
I was engrossed. No.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because
I think it was an art installation.
Yeah. I definitely was. I appreciated it for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get to this next category.
Bear rape.
Three places in the world. I mean, I don't think he was raped by the bear, but listen, it's fine.
I love
three
that
places
scene.
In the world where you would have a vacation home. And goodbye, everybody. Oh. And then just the sound of footsteps running away quickly.
I could do more Foley. Does that, I don't know if that registers.
I don't know because you don't have the
cans
beloved.
On.
Yeah, the cans. Oh, the cans. Big talk.
Cans.
Okay.
Sorry.
Three places in the world where if getting there were, it was more just like you could teleport yourself so you don't have to deal with, unless you want the journey of getting there. But three places where it'd be nice to have a sort of getaway, a vacation
Paris.
Home, country home. Great.
Vancouver. Yep. Canmore.
Where's that?
Alberta.
Well, there you go. Great. Okay. See how fast you answered those?
Yeah.
Three. Now, next one is
blue, three, orange, and light blue. Next question.
No.
I'm good.
Fuck,
now.
He's on
I'm
fire. Cooking. Go three.
Shag, tall tree, blue skies. Next question.
This is spun so wildly out of control. I don't even know how to handle it.
Go.
Three.
John Denver. Depeche Mode. Leather couches. Next question.
Fuck, this is a disaster. What a disaster.
Ugh. This could essentially be six podcasts now, so you know, yeah, you don't have to have
that's
me
trying
on
really
the
break it apart into
podcast.
A real saga. Three skills that you wake up with tomorrow that you have somehow expertly honed in your sleep.
Oh, banjo.
Great.
Which would be guitar too, but banjo first.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you can play the banjo, guitar is a cinch.
They say banjo's harder.
Way harder.
Than guitar. So way it would harder. It would be that prolific writer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like as in a book. Like mm-hmm. sit down and write a book. Not a screenplay, not a TV,
yeah.
a book.
Yep.
You know, George Eliot, Middlemore, mm-hmm. Dostoevsky, something like that.
Yeah.
And then the third would be trade, like mechanic.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, plumber. Something just so, that's broken, I'll fix it.
I know, me too.
As opposed to that's broken, I'm going to break it more. Mm-hmm.
I just put Mr. Fix-It.
Mr. Fix-It. Yeah, just like, I'm going to fucking fix shit
Lord.
Today.
Yeah,
I'm
Mr. Fix-It.
I'm going to fix some shit.
Great. Three time periods that you travel and hang out in a safety bubble, so you're not going to like die of the grip.
The Black Plague.
Or the Black Plague.
Did I say Black
Cholera.
Plague?
Cholera. What did you
say?
The Black Plague. I love Henry Rollins' Black Plague.
He's so cool. I got to work with him.
I did too. Did you do, was a voiceover?
No, I did a movie with him.
Nice.
Cool guy. So smart.
Yeah. And also like super sweet. Took me and the show that I did with him, he took his work very seriously and everyone was intimidated by him, even though he did nothing to merit that. People were just like, he walked in as Henry Rollins and people were like,
well, he's also, he's different now too. Cause I mean, Black Flag, I remember seeing Black Flag when he was, he's not that anymore.
No. Yeah.
He's, you know, he's smaller and not the big thick meat, you know, neck.
Yeah.
He's just a very lovely man. So three time periods.
Mm-hmm. Like, and places, like if that helps, you know, oh, I want to see. But you know, you can go back and you can go into the future if you want to Homo Deus.
Homo Deus. Gosh. It's tough actually. Cause the Victorian period would be rather interesting. I'm like Amadeus. That's mm-hmm. that's the 18th century.
Again, this is not like now you live there. This is sort of, not being able to take it out of a book, not being able to like, not really, like even when I see photographs of people from like the 20s, I can't totally get there that they were real people.
Right.
It's a horrible thing to say, but.
No,
I
but
just
it
get
is.
Trapped.
There's distance.
You get trapped in the. It's like a concept instead of reality. And I think being able to actually visit, you know, like turn of the century New York, where everything just smelled like piss and shit.
Yeah,
and
five soot, points.
And people were just dressed to the nines yeah. and just filthy.
That's
up
why I love
to
the Victorian era too for the attention
yeah,
to detail and what they did and the powdered wigs
exactly.
that I would love to wear and
exactly.
all of that. Just dress up.
Like how
that.
Short is a day if it takes you that long to get ready?
Oh my God.
And get unready.
But again, the detail
the
just of everything, right? The houses. And in this book, Homo Deus, coming out this September. No, it's already out. Homo Deus. I want to do a TV show. Homo Deus.
Homo Deus.
Getting into the Mozart there. And it talks about lawns and how lawns are sort of a symbol of wealth and how it goes back to the Victorian era when the homes were lavish and the lawn was sort of such. Anyways, so the Victorian era, and I'd love to go into like beginning of man, like when this planet was like fucking dinosaurs. Like, how fucking cool would that be? Like, right out there, there's no buildings. So just, which the Victorian era, you'd get that sense anyways. Yeah. There wasn't as many people. So definitely, like, maybe maybe Neanderthal days, because I'm kind of Neanderthal myself. So
I was going to say, what if I limited it to, it has to be a place where that mustache would be appropriate.
Oh my God, 70s.
Yeah, but for sure, like the Old West too. Like that, like, you know, Deadwood era.
Oh my God. Westworld shot on the Deadwood set, and I just lost.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask where that shot.
I was just Malady. I was just like, oh, I'm.
Yeah. This is a holy sacred place.
Paid to do this?
Yeah.
So yeah, I would do that. That would be a fun time too. The West.
Let's do it. The frontier.
Yeah. The Wild West, when it was just like, I don't like you. Sort of like America.
That's right. That's right. Don't forget what this country was founded on.
America. 100%. Guns. Capitalism and killing each other. Yeah. Good job.
Gold. Yes. Gold. Yes. Hey. All right, listen. This next category is a MASH staple. It is three women that can be from any period of time. They can even be fictitious characters. They don't have to be like actresses, but it could be, or it could be a character someone played. It could be George Eliot. It could be anybody. It could be, but from any era that are like alternate universe, like sexy times, or your alternate universe companion, however you want to think of it.
That I'd want to hang out with?
Yeah. But if you don't want to, but if it's like, I'm just attracted to this, like, I'm attracted to the character of, like, someone recently picked Mila Jovovich in this Fifth Element. Probably not because they thought, I'm going to, like, have deep conversations with this girl. Probably because they wanted to have sex with an orange-haired girl in a bandage. But, you know, so can also just be like, it can be straight attraction, or it can actually be like, oh, this is somebody that, you know, I want to hang out with Meryl Streep's character from Julie and Juliet.
Well, my the first thing that pops in my head is Tilda Swinton.
Agreed.
She's so amazing. And do you want to hear a quick story about that?
Yeah.
Because I've never worked with her, and I'd love to. And I find her as an artist, a human, just fascinating and incredibly talented.
Agreed.
She did the art installation at MoMA, where she was in the glass box. Mm-hmm. And it was the strangest thing. And this is, I'm going to share it, but it's going to sound terrible. But it was the weirdest experience. And it sounds wrong and weird, and maybe I shouldn't, but it was her in the glass box, and I had the weirdest urge, and it wasn't a pervy thing, and it wasn't like a sexual thing. I don't know what it was. Maybe I wanted to be part of the art installation, like, cause I'd love that, like Marina Abramovich, what she did and all that. And I really wanted to, like, do a pee-pee smear against the glass.
Hmm.
Just drag my pee-pee along.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was the weirdest thing. I was like, I don't know why I'm feeling this right now. Because again, it wasn't a sexual thing, or it wasn't like, I'm not a revealing type of pull it out guy, but I really wanted to do that. So Tilda Swinton. Apparently I'll never be working with her again, because Stephen keeps pulling his penis out on set. Can we please ask Stephen to keep his penis in his pants during the scene? Tilda Swinton, and I would say, actually, I would say George Eliot, because I just, I love her writing. She's one of my favorite writers. And then, gosh, who else? I'd almost say Bjork. I don't know why, but she just, if could get her when she's not just nuts.
Yeah, well, this is your game, so it can be like the idealized version of Bjork, that maybe has slightly less temperamental. Yeah, the sort of brain and
what an artist. Yeah, just someone who's maintained that individuality and
agreed
that character, and wow.
These are like three pretty incomparable women, which I think is
strong.
That's
strong
a good theme. Okay, and then this next one is like almost sort of a bat phone situation, where some real life person, living or dead, that you could pick up the phone and just chat with. They'd be great, you know, happy to hear from you, give advice, make you laugh, whatever that sounds like. But it's a sort of like, oh, you didn't know that I had a personal relationship with
my granddad
or whatever. Great.
He was such a just calm listener, wonderful man. Man, some people are probably really good, like quick answers.
There isn't always a through line either between like somebody who improvises for most of their spare time. Sometimes are the slowest.
I've been reading a lot. Like, writers are fascinating to me, you know, even like a...
Nothing wrong with that.
Like, I don't know about, you know, maybe a Dostoevsky.
Sure.
Someone to call, but just for their point of view. I mean, smart people really turn me on, excite me because of the challenges that they make you think.
Mm-hmm.
But to call and have a good chuckle with or something. Good Lord, I could use a good chuckle. Storm's coming again. Wave number two. Look at that.
What's that way?
It's getting so dark.
It's good looking.
Too dark to see. Third person I'm thinking of, it would be... No. I keep popping up with people. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Not that person. Like some, you know... Someone, I mean, it was just the Johnny Cash Museum, but would I really call him to ask for stuff? No, I like him. Honestly, I mean, someone like Gord Downie, which breaks my heart a bit. He's just very witty. He's Canadian.
Yeah. Why does it break your heart?
Because he's dying.
Yeah.
He's got a brain. And he toured with his band, The Tragically Hip. As instead of doing treatment, he was like, I'm going to go out the way I came in, performing with my band. And, you know, you're watching with that sense of it. And because he had the surgery and he's got the scar now and he's only 52.
Mm.
And he gave this interview on the CBC, which is the shit. And he had to write down the name of his girls. He says, the most heartbreaking thing is that I had to write down my girls' names because I don't remember them. This was a few months ago. I don't know what state he's in now, but he's...
That's like Terry Jones from Monty Python.
Yeah.
Not just being able to... Yeah.
But he was, you know, he's such an entertainer and, you know, I don't really listen to the hip as much as I used to, but great lyricist. Always seemed very grateful. Was with the same band for all these years. And writers, artists, painters, I get so inspired by them.
Yeah. These are great answers, for God's sake. Okay, the final category, because I scratched this out as if I were an angry child.
What?
The final category for you is...
Diamonds.
Great. Next.
What? What's the question?
I don't know.
I don't know. Diamonds. I'm not a diamond guy. Not a jeweler.
Well, it's on here now. What are your other two?
Okay. Of what? That what?
I don't know.
Japanese denim.
Great.
Loved
it. Your third one?
Third one would probably be old boots.
Okay. Like I dropped the mic.
Workwear boots. But not like construction boots.
I should have done this entire one, really, with you giving me the answers before I had questions. I think that probably would have suited you better.
Like that, where you give
probably
answers and then you have to guess.
Okay, I just have to do a little thing where I like make some hash marks and then I calculate all of this so I can tell you from which, you know, you ended up with each of these things in your fictitious future. So just make it quick. Just tell me when to stop. I'm just doing this thing.
Oh, I have to say stop.
Just say it.
Because you're connecting.
Say it
things.
Right now.
No, because I get to say it when I stop.
Okay. I'm going to pause this, do some tallying.
Why? Because then, okay.
Now I have the number by which I go, eeny, meet the sort of like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I cross something off. And then this is just how the game is played.
Okay.
Look it up on the Wikipedia page. I wonder if there's a
Wikipedia page. Do you ever say that?
Never. I think I do say it will seem as if no time has passed. So I haven't really gotten my Atlanta on. All right, listen.
We're back.
Thanks for joining us. We are following up with the MASH game. This is your 100% guaranteed fictitious future. I want to start out with your... I like these two. I like this combo. I like the idea that you are a banjo virtuoso.
Yes.
And that you're with Bjork. That feels right to me.
That's cool.
It feels very, very right to me.
Yeah.
You have
That's a performance piece right there.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I also feel like the fact that you got Japanese denim, however that fits into your life, also feels right for Bjork and the banjo. You have a house in Vancouver. that you can escape to. You can also dip into the frontiers, the frontier time, the gold rush times with your fantastic mustache.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that kind of mustache. I would be okay. I guess I like rapey mustaches. I would be okay if more men had like handlebar mustaches.
It's, I mean,
but I really don't, but like I need it to stretch down, I think, or at least be full. Like I can't do like a thin, you know,
I like to do
something.
Like
a cop
I mean, I always
mustache.
Have something stupid, but like, oh, when I cut it like this, it, I mean, it's
a little fuller,
it's a button
brush
up,
kind of. Yeah.
I mean, it's very, this is very, it's a very,
it's very specific.
I'm kind of done with it. I really would want to just shave my head and my mustache. Because I'm now like I'm the guy known with the guy with the mustache. Like I'm the,
yeah,
the
I guess
Burt
that's not
Reynolds
that
guy.
Fun. It's fun if it's a thing that you can kind of do and then do and change and do something different.
Yeah.
And
I just keep getting roles based on my fate. Like Westworld is my choppers. Like there's more to me than my facial hair is what I'm trying to say.
Good
I don't
for
know
you.
What.
Let's get that t-shirt made.
Yeah.
And then the last two pieces that I'm excited to share with you are that you can also disappear into the wild, which I love. And it was a great choice. Mm. And unlimited access to your granddad.
Uh-huh.
Which is awesome. I guess I said he was on the phone, but I'm going to extend that out to like you guys can be out in the wild together. I know. The fittingly the end
our
of the podcast
astronaut has
brings
died.
Us the death of our second astronaut. I should not have done this on a space station. I'm starting to regret it now.
But it's fun floating. I've never done a podcast in zero gravity.
I've enjoyed it. I'm really glad you haven't had to pee yet because that's a whole thing. Ask NASA.
I had to learn about that. There's a great book when I did the space film about peeing in space.
Yeah.
And
they're still asking for suggestions on how to get it better.
Well, it was amazing because they said out of everything, the astronauts being interviewed, like what is the most amazing thing up in space? And you'd think, you know, maybe looking at Earth. I mean, there's all sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. You're in space, for fuck's sakes.
Right.
What was like crazy percentage, like 85%, something enormous, the most beautiful thing? Watching their urine being released from the window and watching
into
it
space.
In space.
Makes
they
sense.
Said it's the most beautiful thing. And I wanted to, in the space film, have a scene where he was like, he peed himself. Because it's a big thing in space. And also...
Yes.
When you go from gravity to no gravity in the spaceship, because this was a survival film, you sometimes don't know you have to pee and it just will come out.
Absolutely.
And I thought, we haven't seen that in a space film.
I couldn't agree more.
And not like anything gratuitous, just I really wanted to say, like, you know, at one point when she's the commander saying, is there anything, you know, you need? And he's like, I really could take a piss right now. And then later on, it just happens and he just pees himself because this man is being broken. I mean, he has to say goodbye because he's in this precarious situation. His spaceship's hurtling towards the sun. It's bye-bye time. So he's reflecting on his life and his relationship to his son and all this stuff. And I thought, how wonderful when he's just, it just keeps level of humiliation and to have him pee. And we fought. We had such a fight that day because they were just like, we've given you other things that you want, because I'm a producer on it too. And they're like, we've given you other things. Like you were able to say all those words we really didn't want you to say. The pee thing we draw in our line. No one... I'm like, it would be really cool. And I got so upset, I stormed. That was the only time I had a bit of a temperamental actor. Like, I think I threw something across the room and left. And I was sick too. So.
Well, you were pissed off. I hate myself.
It's funny.
I'm really glad that you did this. I'm so pleased that we got the chance to work together. I hope it happens again. And
I don't know if it's if I should apologize to the podcast people. Like, I don't know if it was funny.
It was great.
It just
I forgot
like,
to tell you, my podcast isn't really that funny.
Well, I should have checked it out. I don't know the whole thing. Like,
yeah.
It's like...
Well, it's a whole world waiting for you to just jump right into.
I know, right?
It's mostly an astronaut peeing in space themed podcast. I turned it around a little bit. I wish I wouldn't have now that I know. But we can always live with this regret forever or until our spacesuits... until our spacesuits hiss us to death. God. Oh shit, I almost forgot.
What?
Remember, it's Boys of Summer. I only interview guys during the summer, so I need you to sing whatever.
After the boys of summer have gone. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Boys of summer have gone.
Yeah, you just did it.
I was about to say, I got my first real six string. It was a five and damn. But that's Brian Adams. Summer of 69.
Yes,
which
it
is not Boys
yes,
of Summer.
It is.
How does the Boys of Summer start?
Yeah, you got it. I could see it already. Just the like grimace you have belies that you know exactly
is
how
right
it is.
Theme?
You're doing it. Nobody on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody on the beach.
Isn't it, I got a deadhead on a Cadillac.
Oh, yeah. I got a
deadhead sticker on a Cadillac.
I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac.
Is that the lyric?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a deadhead sticker on a Cadillac.
Little voice inside my head said,
don't look back. You can never look back. It's very Jack Black.
Yeah.
After the boys of... It's a good song.
Yeah.
Summer have gone.
Stephen Ogg, everybody. Guys, I'll talk to you next time on the podcast. Bye.
Peace out.
As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.